My teachers used to tell me I would forget my head if it wasn't attached to my body, to my neck. Huh?
That's what my mama used to tell
me. Anyway, unfortunately, it's true. I sometimes wonder if the reason may be something like that of Karna. You know the curse of Karna by Parashuram? Anyone know that story? Karna was the sixth Pandava, right? He was the brother of Arjuna, Sahadeva, Nakula, Bhima, Yudhishthira. Not a very publicized fact, but it's a fact. Also known as Radheya. And a very great and chivalrous warrior. Unfortunately, he took the side against his brothers. He took the side of the Kurus in the Battle of Kurukshetra out of loyalty to Dhritarashtra and Duryodhan, who had maintained him and supported his exploits and so forth. So Karna's history is sort of a long one, but as I recall, he was born of the sun god, right? So now I get to retract one of yesterday's statements, where I said Ikshvaku, the sun god. Ikshvaku is the son of Manu, not the sun god. Vivasvan is the sun god. Now, for some reason, I'm remembering reading in Bhagavad Gita about Ikshvaku, but it's Vivasvan, Manu, Ikshvaku. Vivasvan, this knowledge of, Krishna's saying, this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita first was given to Vivasvan, the sun god. But somehow I got confused. Vivasvan, Manu, son of Manu, is Ikshvaku. Who is Manu? Take a guess. Or anyone know? Manu? Man? Who? The key is Man. The father of all man. He is the original progenitor, the father of mankind. So in this universe, he is like the father of everyone. Something like that. Manu. Man. So his son was Ikshvaku. So Manu heard this from Vivasvan, and Manu imparted the knowledge to Ikshvaku, and then there's some lineage from that. Oh, and Ikshvaku, by the way, is the head of the Raghu dynasty, the same dynasty of Lord Ramachandra. So, anyway, all this parampara business is very intricate, because there's a little mixing here and there. So that parampara mentioned in Srimad Bhagavad Gita is not the same identically to our parampara. And our parampara, the reason I asked for this song here, it's all, our parampara is all explained in this Sri Guru parampara of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So, huh? Shiksha parampara. So the parampara that we know, when we look on the altar, we see a short representation of it. And then in Bhagavad Gita or some other place, I know the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust Bhagavad Gita, they have the parampara listed. But that parampara is what is given here. Parampara given by Srila Saraswati Thakur. So that's what we're giving attention to. Those personalities listed by Srila Saraswati Thakur. Every name cannot be mentioned. And so this is where I got into another bit of trouble yesterday. And luckily Lalita was here to sort of help me a little bit. And So I'll first speak to that and then what got me into trouble. So we should always remember, I should always remember especially, this idea of the physician, the Hippocratic Oath. First rule is what? Anyone? Hippocratic Oath. First rule of the doctor. Do no harm. Right? Don't do anything that's going to make the situation worse, make the patient worse. If you're not sure how to proceed, at least don't do something which is going to aggravate the problem. So, unfortunately, for us, for me, this means don't say something that you're not sure about. Because if you do, you run that risk of doing harm, doing something which is not good. So I mentioned two names yesterday that I remembered the names, but then after Lalita said something, then I thought, oh, but am I sure in what relation I heard the names? I wasn't sure. And so they are Ram Krishnadas Babaji and Ram Das Babaji. Two different persons in Navadvip. Babaji's of Navadvip. But they were not seen favorably by our Guru Parampara, by Srila Saraswati Thakur. And I'm pretty sure there's another Ram Das of Vrindavan that was mentioned by Srila Guru Maharaj. And I thought in a favorable way, but maybe not. So I don't know. I don't know. But also, of course, to add to the confusion, there are so many Ram Dasas. So it's a very popular name. Physicians have their association. And I think of ourselves like we are students, so we are not full-fledged physicians yet, but maybe like some of us like interns, some of us medical students, et cetera, et cetera. And anyway, they all associate together, and if someone makes a mistake, one of the other students can correct them. So this is a good position for us and a valuable lesson to be learned from my mistake is never leave the association of the devotees because they will always save us. That's very true. So I partially retracted my statement yesterday after Lalita mentioned Vanshidas Babaji. And Vanshidas Babaji, his verifies can be easily substantiated because we honor his appearance and disappearance on our calendar. So that's easy enough to understand. But today, that planted the doubt in my mind. Oh, maybe I was thinking of him, actually, and not this other one. When you mentioned Vanshidas Babaji, oh, maybe that's who I was thinking about. I think it was. Because Saraswati Thakur did speak favorably of him, and Srila Guru Maharaj did speak favorably of him. So, in the courtroom, if someone enters some evidence which the judge disallows, then he orders the jury disregard those remarks. Everyone, disregard those remarks I made yesterday in this connection, Ram Krishna and Ram Das. Okay. Okay. Now, next. So this made me do some research. My clock is apparently still like something like New Jersey, maybe part here, part there. I don't know, but. So I'm up at midnight last night, and I thought, well, I better see if I can settle this matter in my mind. And I couldn't find anything relating to either of those names. I did some research. But I did find something that is helpful and I think maybe of interest. Does anyone know who is the guru of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji? Right. Okay, good. Good. So I'll make my point that way. So we were talking about the Shiksha Guru Parampara, everyone remembers, and that all the names, only the most prominent, the most significant names are mentioned there. And by who? By Srila Saraswati Thakur. We're getting this all from him. It's a fairly new, I think, innovation of his, just like the idea of establishing temples and so forth. Previously, there were sadhus in India, but they generally didn't have any sort of organized way of preaching. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had the idea to organize the preaching. And more or less ordered Saraswati Thakur to have a function in that, to engage in that function. So Saraswati Thakur introduced some things like the sannyas. Previously, the spiritual leaders were seen to be those in the dress of the Goswamis, the white Babaji dress. And Saraswati Thakur thought no better to introduce the sannyas. And somehow the idea came roughly from the Ramanuja Sampradaya and the idea of the tree danda sannyas and so forth and the saffron cloth. So it, from the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, everyone was looking at the Babajis as the representatives of Mahaprabhu, the six Goswamis and others after them. They were seen as representing the line from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Saraswati Thakur introduced this sannyas, reintroduced the sannyas, you can say. So, in the Diksha Guru Parampara, just a short section here of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, his Diksha Guru was Bhagavat Das Babaji Maharaj. So another Babaji extant during the time of Srila Saraswati Thakur and well thought of by the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, and the guru of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. But the parampara, as Saraswati Thakur chose to represent it, leaves him out, leaves out Bhagavat Maharaj, Bhagavat Das Babaji. And instead, goes from Gaur Kishore to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And I wasn't quite sure of this yesterday, but here, listening to a tape of Srila Sridhar Maharaj talk about this last night, then it was verified that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Sridhar Maharaj took Vaish, he said, Bhaktivinoda Thakur took Vaish from Jagannath Das Babaji. So there was actually some official initiation by Jagannath Das Babaji. But at any rate, whether Shiksha or Diksha, the line of succession obviously is going from Jagannath Das Babaji to Bhaktivinoda Thakur to Gaur Kishore, Saraswati Thakur, etc. And I mentioned Madhvacharya yesterday. So another thing that I want to say is there's a big gap. Let's see. Actually, it'll be listed here. So we're showing here Brahma, Narada, Vyas. Those are like the three heads, right? Then after Vyas, anyway, I think is Madhva, yeah. after Vyasa's Madhva. So a huge, huge, huge span of time from Veda Vyas to Madhvacharya. And then from Madhva, our line is all in the line of Madhvacharya for many, many acharyas. Madhva, there's so many in his line, directly his disciple, disciple of his, disciple of his, disciple of his, etc. And then the break comes with Madhavendra Puri. And Madhavendra Puri, then this some unique revelation and about the line of pure dedication and the, what is the highest representation of Krishna consciousness, Sri Radha, service to Sri Radha, Radha Dasyam, etc. And then from Madhavendra Puri, then Ishvara Puri, and two more names that we know very well and are very famous and everything, but I probably usually forgotten as disciples of Madhavendra Puri, and that is Lord Nityananda and Advaita Acharya. They were also disciples of Madhavendra Puri. So Ishvara Puri, Advaita, Nityananda. Then, who? Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya, Radha, Krishna, Nahayanya. Next after them, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. And then from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then Goswamis and others. Then suddenly, Baladev Vidyabhushan. Let's see, I don't think Vishwanath is mentioned in here. No, he's mentioned. And Srila Sridhar Maharaj said, let's see, mentioned Vishwanath, and then that Baladev Vidyabhushan. After Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, then Baladev Vidyabhushan. And he said that Baladev Vidyabhushan was also in the line of Madhva. So, but he was accepted by the followers of Mahaprabhu because his contribution was so great. And what was that? The Govinda Bhasyam. And the gist of the Govinda Bhasya was to establish Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the fifth sampradaya. There were previously four established sampradayas. And Baladev, because there was a challenge, oh, you followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what are you doing? What's the basis for what you're doing? And the general idea would be, oh, well, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam, that's already there, and that's, we're like, you know, following that. No, but you're not following that exactly. Mahaprabhu showed something different. And you cannot, what he did, like I was speaking the other day, that Ramananda Samvad, that's not in Srimad Bhagavatam. So what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu introduced, don't tell us that that's because you are the followers of Srimad Bhagavatam. You have to show something substantial that justifies what you're doing. So that charge naturally fell to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He was prominent in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the time. But because of his age, he was not up to meeting this challenge of these pundits. But Baladev offered that he will do it. And Vishwanath agreed with that. Then Baladev went to the temple of Govinda, and Govindaji prayed fervently for some help, some guidance, because the demand was that within 7 days, if you have something, then within 7 days, show it to us. If you have some bhashya, some shastra that will represent this, you know, what Mahaprabhu is doing properly, then show us. So in 7 days, Baladev compiled this whole Govinda Bhashya. So because of that, and that established, by that establishing the bona fides of the this fifth sampradaya of Mahaprabhu, then of course he's welcome. He's like what do you call it? Like there's a word. Or you bring someone into your organization, and begins in something
initiate. Initiates?
Inducted. He was inducted into Mahaprabhu's sampradaya. Vishwanath Chakravarti, Baladev Vidyabhushan, Jagannath Das Babaji. And Srila Sridhar Maharaj said, that Jagannath Das Babaji was in the line of Baladev, Baladev, Vidyabhushan. But the way he said it, I understood it to mean also like there's some Madhva Acharya connection. But Jagannath Das Babaji, then he had this disciple, Bhagavat Das Babaji. And as we heard, that Satchidananda Bhaktivinoda Thakur also took initiation from Jagannath Das Babaji, and Gaurkishore Das Babaji from Bhagavat Das Babaji. And why Gaurkishore is in this parampara, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Gaurkishore Das Babaji, Saraswati Thakur, in that order of shiksha, Srila Sridhar Maharaj said, because Gaurkishore was the something like this, like Bhagavat Shastra disciple of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. The Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to give classes on the Bhagavat. If you go to his house today, then you'll see there's some small room there. It was made especially so Gaurkishore Das Babaji could sit and listen to the discourses of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and hear those discourses. And so Saraswati Thakur is showing that this, you know, most current representation of the Krishna consciousness movement, our sampradaya, our parampara, is with Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And he is like the head, and then everyone else showing in how they respond to that or relate to him. And another thing that Srila Sridhar Maharaj said, which I touched on a little bit yesterday, but this was in relation to Saraswati Thakur. He said, we understood our Guru Maharaj descended from the spiritual world. He had no need of any guru. No need for any guru. But as a formality, he accepted a guru, and he showed this as the proper way to approach Krishna consciousness. So And anyway, so Gaurakishore Das Babaji is shown there. And Saraswati Thakur, of course, accepted him as his guru, but he was so... Saraswati Thakur was really, I think for most purposes, I'll say it that way, for most purposes, he looked to Bhaktivinoda Thakur for his inspiration, considered Bhaktivinoda Thakur his guru. And in reading some of the, there's this book of a compilation of many of Saraswati Thakur's lectures, and it's called Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or The Teachings of Sri Chaitanya, is that it? I think The Teachings of Sri Chaitanya, and it's a collection of some of the talks given by Srila Saraswati Thakur. And I've asked everyone that it's possible for me to ask. I've been curious about, oh, and Lalita knows probably, because I think she's seen one of my emails. These talks are all English. Now, I don't think there's a single Sanskrit verse anywhere in any of these talks, this book, anywhere in this book. I don't think there's a single Sanskrit verse. And my question was, is that because Saraswati Thakur wasn't reciting Sanskrit verses, or they just weren't included? In other words, like just instead of giving the Sanskrit verse, only the meaning was given. Whatever Saraswati Thakur gave in English or Bengali is the meaning. Because another point about this book is, it's not entirely clear to me whether it was, may have been originally, I think I've heard that some of these chapters are from talks given in Bengali and others from talks given in English. So it's a little unclear to be very precise in understanding exactly how this was formulated. And even the language is also a little difficult to know if it is exactly... Well, it is not exactly the language of Saraswati Thakur, because that I'm 98% sure of, because there were no tape recorders. So they weren't transcribing, you know, tapes or something like that. At least, yeah, there was no... I don't think there was any... Well, maybe there were some, like, this wire thing. May have been something like that, some way to record. But for the most part, I believe I heard this from Srila Sridhar, that these came from his secretaries taking shorthand notes of his lectures. And from the, and so I believe from mostly, if not all, of these works were taken from the notes of his disciples that they made during his lectures to reproduce them later. And the language of his disciples, like Professor Nishikanta Sanyal, was a very highbrow English, you know, usage of English. And more than that, a philosophical usage of English. So one time someone was asking Srila Sridhar Maharaj about studying some language. You know, he's maybe going to preach in some country of it where they spoke a different language or something, wondering if was that it? Hare Krishna. No, I won't tell you what the question... I'm not sure what the question was, but the answer was that if you're going to speak, you have to speak in the language that someone knows, right? So if you all know English and I'm speaking in Spanish, that won't be very helpful to you. So Srila Sridhar Maharaj was talking about the language of the philosopher. So English is a language, Russian is a language, Spanish is a language. Yeah, I imagine deer is a language. There's a language for the deer, right? And the bunny rabbits, and everyone has some language. The philosophers, they're like their own group, and they have their own language. And the language that we always see associated with Srila Saraswati Thakur was that language. And I'm fairly sure that that was not uncharacteristic of his own usage of the English language. But his disciple, it may be a little hard to say because things he said that he wrote may have been edited, things that he said may have been put in the words of his, what he's saying, but in the jargon of his disciples or something like that. And his disciples also knew this language of English philosophers. So some of the things, actually everything you read of Saraswati Thakur is like that. Very like exalted use of the English language of philosophers. And so it's a little hard for some of us to understand, I think. But it can be understood, and hopefully maybe some of our devotees can help us to understand those things. Huh? Bombastic, yeah. Yeah. I've seen it, but Can you say again louder?
Oh, no, I just said I think it's a biography.
Biography. Yeah, I think so. I sent an email to my brother one time, and I'm prone to include these, like after my name, you know, sincerely Giri Maharaj, then some quotation. So I included some quotation of Srila Saraswati Thakur. And I don't remember which one, but his wife wrote back to me something like, I could understand what is being said, but it sounds like he must be, and I don't remember her word, but something like, he must be very puffed up, you know, to speak in this type of to use this type of language, something like that. You know, she took it like, you know, bombastic, like, you know, stilted is another word that comes to mind. It means like a language that's used to like show one's erudition, one's knowledge. You know, oh, I can speak like this, and maybe you can't understand it. Who cares? You know, but listen to me. So she got that impression, and I started an email back to her, which was very bombastic, by the way. But it was so bombastic that I couldn't finish because it was becoming too lengthy. But I'll try to I'll explain a little bit of it to you. Maybe you'll be interested to hear. And I think I began something like this, that you may say that, but those who knew him, you know, could never agree that there was that he was anything but it showed anything but the most the greatest sort of humility. And he was not what you're describing. He was not like that at all. And I said, And if you think that this is a show of erudition rather than just a sincere way of speaking, then I will tell you this, that during his time, this was common in India amongst learned people. It was not uncommon, that sort of English usage was not uncommon. And even in the United States, during the time of Thoreau and Emerson and people like that, Jefferson, you know, in the 1700s, 1800s, it also was not unusual, uncommon, and the common man understood it. And even if he wasn't very educated but could read, then he could understand this language. So perhaps it's not the language that is the problem, but the education that is the problem.
The lack of it?
Huh? Yeah, well, indirectly. And then I said, and then I mentioned that, and even when I was young, when I was 12, 13 years old, and I was babysitting your husband, because I'm the older brother. That my father, our father, required me to read, and I read a volume of about 30 to 40 books called The Great Books of the Western World. And these books were mostly, they covered all subjects, mathematics, philosophy, theology, sociology, you know, so many things. And they were, you know, who were the authors? Pythagoras, so mathematics, that was covered by Pythagoras. Philosophy, Aristotle, Socrates, Hume, Plato, you know, so many, Hegel, etc., etc. And, you know, I gave a whole, you know, a list of many names like this. And, you know, I was expected to read and understand what was being said by these people who are using, incidentally, the same language that you're objecting to. Hare Krishna. Well, I didn't. That would probably mean some type of argument. I didn't want to do that. But anyway, so I think, anyway, that's what I accept things in that way. The problem is not that Saraswati Thakur or anyone was speaking in a way which is too exalted. The problem is we are not educated enough. So why blame them? Blame yourself. You know, blame ourselves. Blame us. We are the problem. So that was my idea. And so the philosopher's language, it is like its own language, and you have to become familiar with it by studying it or by being associating with people who understand it or having it explained to you. Nothing wrong with that also. And in the end, another one of my signature lines is that this is my own doing. I say, we are not philosophers, but we are students of philosophers. So if we can't talk like the philosopher, that's okay. Those who are our masters, they really are philosophers, and we are students of theirs. So this student association is very good. Association of students. Very good. And if one of us goes off, it's the duty of the others to correct, corral, and check. All right, I think that's probably enough. Anyone have any question? Yes?
I think there's reasons for why our Sampradaya goes to sleep.
From?
Jagannath.
Who?
Jagannath.
Jagannath.
A very short span of time. Then actually, Shri Bhakti Thakur, Jagannath, Gopeshwara, and Saraswati, they're all contemporaries.
Right.
Contemporaries.
Contemporaries.
Uh-huh. Now, since Gopeshwara Babaji Maharaj takes Shiksha from Shri Bhakti Thakur, the same stands for Saraswati Thakur, who was his son, and actually even spokesman for
Bhakti. Saraswati Thakur what?
Was spokesman for Shri Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He must have taken Shiksha from him directly.
Sure.
Under many circumstances throughout his life. So, and I understand that there's inner meaning of perhaps the reason why Shri Bhaktivinoda Thakur directs his son to Gaudiya Vaishnava Maharaj. Perhaps there's some spiritual fulfilling element.
Saraswati Thakur wanted to take initiation from Bhaktivinoda. Bhaktivinoda thought it will not look good. Father is giving son to his, you know, father is giving initiation to a son, his son. That was one thing.
Because I just mentioned, yeah. So practically speaking, there is no really no need, except the social conduct, right? But on the other hand,
the practicality of that is what Guru Maharaj said. He came from that upper world, from Goloka. No need to accept formal initiation because he's come from that place directly.
Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, you see that Saraswati Thakur prizes the gold that is not.
Oh, pardon me. So can you remember what you're going to say? I forgot to tell you why I started talking about Sri Krishna Chaitanya, that book. In that book, I haven't read probably every line of it, but I've read quite a bit of it, and I've never read Srila Saraswati Thakur mentioned by name his spiritual master. But he mentions many times my guru, my master, my spiritual master, or something like that. But he never gives a name to that person. Okay, go ahead.
This is the same book that only has an English, no Sanskrit verses.
Huh?
The same book that has no Sanskrit verses.
Yeah.
So we can see that the Saraswati Thakur, you know, although he won't take initiation from his father, but after being indicated or, you know, directed towards Gaukishas Babaji Maharaj, he writes beautiful poems.
Also told
about
that,
him,
that this Gaurakishore, he will be a proper guru for you.
Yeah. So it's really
something like Mahaprabhu telling Gadadhar, you go to Pundarik Vidyanidhi.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and pardon me, Prabhu, but something else that is very nice. Srila Sridhar Maharaj said that he in his poem he said he couldn't remember the Sanskrit, so I guess I can't say for sure which poem he's referring to. I would think it was this Bhaktivinoda Viraha Dasikam, but he said that he made a comparison between Vyas and Shuka and Bhaktivinoda and Saraswati Thakur.
Mm-hmm.
Just as Vyas was a householder, but he had a brahmachari son, Shukadev,
mm-hmm.
who was his disciple,
mm-hmm.
so Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a grihastha, and his disciple, who he gave his spiritual knowledge to, was Saraswati Thakur, a brahmachari, lifelong brahmachari. Okay,
yeah.
Sorry.
It's complete picture. But actually, yeah, that actually this completes the picture, because my question was more or less to understand the intricacies of this appointment and lineage. But you just said now it completes the question, answers the question.
What was the question?
Yeah, the question was to understand why actually Saraswati Thakur could initiate from Gaudiya Das Babaji Maharaj. He didn't have to.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur insisted upon it, and Saraswati Thakur had no objection. He was happy. He appreciated the quality of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. And so much so, as I said, although in most respects we are considered Bhaktivinoda Parivar, we're considered all of us followers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. That was the idea of Saraswati Thakur and his disciples. But he wanted to distinguish Gaur Kishore Das Babaji and included him in the parampara.
What did he say about Vyasa Deva and Sukha?
Vyasa was a householder.
Uh-huh.
Shukadev Brahmachari.
Sukadev Goswami.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
And as what Vyas wanted to give, the conception of Krishna consciousness of Vyas, that was given through Shukadev. And so some comparison Srila Sridhar Maharaj drew between that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is the Vyas of Mahaprabhu. As Vyasadeva is to Krishna, Bhaktivinoda is to Mahaprabhu, and as Shukadeva is to Vyas, Saraswati Thakur is to Bhaktivinoda.
But there's some relationship here between Vyas and
father and son.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Oh, you didn't? Yeah.
Wow.
Shukadeva is the son of Vyasadeva. Any other question?
So you've been talking about like our Guru Parampara. And what is the place of like the line that Krishna describes in the Gita? You know, like you're talking,
the line what?
The line that Krishna describes in the Gita, you know, from Vibhishran to Manu Vishra.
In the Mahabharata.
No, I mean, like, what is that in relation to us? Like, this is our Guru Parampara. This is, like, another mind.
Yeah, it's distinct. We are distinct from that. But again, Srila Sridhar Maharaj said Saraswati Thakur incorporated those elements that would help us, that would support us. And for that reason, Madhvacharya is included. So we are using Bhagavad Gita because it's an element that helps to substantiate our position. But the direct... The parampara mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita is not our parampara, but it's also, but you know, it's not to be neglected. What Krishna said to Arjuna, I said yesterday, you know, Arjuna is not in our parampara, but the instructions Krishna gave to Arjuna are very important. Uddhava is not in our parampara. But the instruction, the Uddhava Gita, the instructions Krishna gave to Uddhava, those are very important. And Uddhava represents the highest, type of devotee, highest standard of devotee. So, and Srila Sridhar Maharaj says that the Shiksha Guru Parampara moves in a zigzag way. So that, you know, it goes from Krishna to, you know, here, Brahma, to here, and here, and here, and here, Madhva, and here, and here, and here, Madhavendra Puri, and then, Ishvara Puri, and kind of like, I was going to mention the other day also, but forgot, Lokanath Goswami, he's not mentioned here, but Lokanath was the guru of Narottam Das Thakur. You know how I know that? How I remember it? LMN, Lokanath Narottam. So, Lokanath is the guru of Narottam Das Thakur, but he's not mentioned in our parampara. So,
this is another question. Since Mahaprabhu's contribution is so great and it's included in Ramananda Samvad, what is the position in our Sampradaya for Ramananda life?
Vishaka.
Now, what, he's not in the line.
Huh?
He's not in the line. He's main contributor.
Yeah, Sarup Damodar is mentioned, sort of as an aside. I don't know, is he in here? Let's see.
He didn't give Ramananda Sambhav. He didn't give his conception. Sarup Damodar Rai.
Huh? What?
See, Ramananda Rai, he gave something we need, and Mahaprabhu appreciated. All our...
He gave, or Mahaprabhu gave?
Gave, but our Siddhanta is...
But Mahaprabhu is mentioned.
Yes.
He wants to know why Ramananda Roy is not mentioned.
Yeah.
He's a key person. He's a key guru. He's a key person in the parampara. And now the parampara, since it is Shiksha parampara, the key person is going to be the voice of the Shiksha. We must mention something about the Shiva and his grace.
Why he's not included?
Yes.
Oh, really? Huh?
Why is that mentioned?
Why is he not mentioned? He makes some mentioning in the Shiva Inspiration.
But you don't remember the reason.
I don't recall the exact phrase of his call. He also mentioned men and women during Mahavantra online.
Anyone else remember why Ramananda Roy is not mentioned? I guess that will be my research for tonight. Why he's not mentioned? It says there why he's not included in the Sampradaya.
No. Well, he's mentioned he's not, for example, him also is not included, although he gave a great contribution. This
oh, but it doesn't say why.
It doesn't say, yeah,
oh, okay.
Why. But he mentions also many others are not included,
yeah,
like ladies, Jamnavar.
Yeah, yeah, right, okay.
Who's the guru of Ramananda Roy?
Yeah, it's not going to be possible to answer. It's sort of like to prove a negative. Why someone was not included, unless it's been mentioned by Saraswati Thakur or someone. And I don't know how.
See, I understand Arjuna, right? It's their general.
You do?
Teaching. Arjuna is not mentioned because the teachings are pretty general.
Huh?
The teachings of Krishna to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita are quite general. They're nothing like, there's no like special contribution there.
Yeah, same could be said of Madhva.
No special contribution.
Referring to Ramananda Sambhava.
I'm going to stick to my... Anyway, I'm going to stay with my first answer. Maybe it's not complete. Maybe it's wrong. But this is... this is one way, this is the way I one way that I would adjust it, harmonize it, or whatever. But Mahaprabhu is included, and what are his teachings? The 8 shlokas of Shikshastakam? Okay, we can say that. But where do his teachings really take the where do they become like so highly illuminated? They become highly illuminated in the talks with Ramananda. But as Ramananda said, I'm only speaking what you make me speak, right? So they may be the talks between Ramananda Roy and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but and no doubt Ramananda Roy knew everything and was qualified. And in this Shiksha sense could be considered the Shiksha guru of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But anyway, Mahaprabhu is included in the parampara, and these teachings of Ramananda Samvad are the teachings of Mahaprabhu, and so in that way it's represented there. And that's one way. I don't know everything by any means. Okay, anyway, I think time to go on. Jai Parikar, Sri Sri Guru Granga, Sri Sri Gandharvika Girihari Ju Ki Jai. Jai Parikar, Sri Sri Guru Granga, Sri Sri Gandharva Govinda Sundara Ju Ki Jai. Jai Sri Rupanuga Guru Varga Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.